Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, good morning to you, 910 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Jack Lancaster is with me today.
Good morning. It's not Monday, though.
He's a Monday guy, I know, but we had a little switch of the schedule, and Jack agreed
to
move it around. Appreciate it, Jack.
Yeah, glad to be here.
A couple of things from the headline today that Jack would be interested in, and maybe you too. Utah was ranked as the second healthiest state in America after, do you want to guess?
Vermont.
Who might be number one?
Vermont.
No, it's in the northwest. You're close. State of Washington.
Washington.
Yeah, believe it or not.
That surprises me.
Now, the rankings were based on a bunch of things, but the top three were cigarette smoking rates, binge drinking rates, and sleep. Utah did great. In fact, number one in the least percentage of cigarette smokers and the least percentage of binge drinkers.
Yeah.
However, we're not getting enough sleep here in Utah.
Huh.
Or we would have been number one.
Well, that doesn't seem like, I don't know. That doesn't balance out for me.
No. Did you get enough sleep, Jack?
Yeah, but it's too... Okay, so that means that Washington would have been second in smoking and second in drinking.
Well, top five, yep.
Or whatever. But number one in sleep.
One
so
in
they
sleep,
scored sleeping higher. Because if you give three...
Well, it was Utah...
Dude, that's a fake score, man.
Well, Utah was way down the list. It was like bottom 10 in the amount of sleep. So...
So that is.
Even though Washington did not do as well in drinking and smoking, because they scored high in sleeping, and we didn't. We scored way low in sleeping.
Oh, okay.
So, and then the other one. So one of maybe,
I wonder if it's all the babies.
Well, we do have a lot of babies that don't sleep, and they make the parents not sleep.
Yeah.
Another story in the news today. So one of the unintended consequences of us living longer, Jack, is the fact that the rates of dementia is now going up. And it makes sense. Dementia is something that creeps in when we're older.
Uh-huh.
And because we are now live, I think the women's, the age expectancy for a woman is up close to 80. But now they're saying as much as 48% of women and 43% of men are suffering from dementia when they
Is that overall, or is that like just in certain ages and older?
Yeah, it's over 55, which is sad because we're both over that. I was hoping it would be over 75,
yeah.
but the study said it was over 55. But that's part of, living longer, and it kind of makes sense, but it's still kind of scary to think about because honestly... I've had a lot of people say, and maybe people will argue with me, Jack, but a lot of people say it's actually better to pass away than to lose your mind.
Huh. So, my father had dementia, which was
Well, you would know sad. That. What do you think about that?
The hard part was you couldn't leave him alone anymore.
Yeah.
He'd get in his pickup and he'd go for a drive and then get lost.
Oh, man.
Or he would pull into the gas station and then instead of driving out before you make the turn, he would cut it too close and then take out a piece of the pickup truck, on that pole, that protects those things.
They say, my father-in-law has Lewy body dementia, which is a form of dementia, but they say it's like they age in reverse. They go from being an adult, then they're a teenager, and then they're, a preteen, and, eventually you have to, like you said, take away, you have to watch
them. He didn't do that. He kind of just couldn't remember stuff that was recent, but he would tell you stories of the old days on end, But my dad was a chain smoker up till the end. But he lived till 85.
Oh, wow.
I know.
My father-in-law keeps asking when we're going to take him home. Well, he's lived in Riverton for 25 years now.
Uh-huh.
When he refers to home, he's talking about his childhood home in Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
And that's tough when you try to, and they say a lot of times with dementia patients, you just agree with them, whatever they say, you don't argue with them, but how do you tell him when he keeps saying, I want to go home, take me back, take me home to Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
He hasn't lived in Pennsylvania for 60 years,
tough.
In New Jersey for 25 years. And so it's a tough deal.
Yeah. I don't know. You just got to love him. And, I think as long as they are somewhat self, I mean, the hardest thing I had to go to therapy. Literally had to go to therapy is when we had to put my dad in a assisted living home against his will, kind of. you know, because mom had passed and he couldn't live alone.
If you had to watch him all the time and you had to go to work.
Well, I moved in. I was single at the time and I moved in with him and he smoked and turned on the TV so loud because he wouldn't hear. He didn't like hearing aids. So, you lose your hearing.
How could you survive in a smoking loud environment like that?
Well, I couldn't sleep. That was for one thing. Man. So, yeah.
But you're the reason Utah finished second instead of first. Then you didn't sleep.
Okay. I've lost sleep for a lot of things after that too.
On everybody's lips, on everybody's minds right now, the wildfires in California, Jack, and Governor Newsom criticized Donald Trump for making it political. But what's happened is a lot of it is a direct result of California's politics.
Well, if you mismanage your forest, they're going to get out of control, and that can happen. I mean, I was listening on the way in. A firefighter from Orange County was saying, hey, there's nothing anybody can do at 100-mile-an-hour winds. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
And at those speeds, power lines are going to arc and something, whatever.
Sure.
But there is something to be said about reservoir management, something to be said about underbrush management, understory in the forests and those lowlands down there. They're not really forests, they're sagebrush, not sagebrush, but they got a type of brush over there that dries out but I don't know. Now what's gonna happen, there's two things gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
Is when it starts to rain in a month, they're gonna have mudslides. And they're going to flood.
Big time.
And then in about 3 or 4 months, or maybe even, somewhere in that time, we're going to start seeing an influx of people moving here from California.
Really?
As soon as they start getting their insurance checks, they're going to move out. Yeah.
They're done.
This happened, I remember, in the 80s when the Rodney King riots happened. It wasn't long after that we got an influx of people, and I was in the real estate business at the time, and they said, we're done with it down there, all the nonsense.
People come to you and said, I got this big fat chunk of cash.
Yeah, we have people moving here.
Buy a house.
Yeah.
We saw that with the pandemic where, a lot of California was closed. A lot of the country was closed, but Utah was mostly open and they came here.
That's true. They came up here to recreate and then decided to stay,
Yeah, they're like, hey, wait, your schools are open? Wait, what?
This is normal.
Yeah.
You guys aren't, dying on the streets.
Right.
So I predict that we're going to see an influx of Californians because of this.
Should I get a pencil?
Yeah, sure. Write it down. Give me 6 months, and we'll start seeing the effects.
Well, hopefully, you'll still be coming on the show in 6 months.
Well, of course I will, Andy. Okay. I'm never leaving. Well, as long as you're here, I'm here. Yeah. As long as you'll have me.
You might get a better offer. You might get a paying job.
I could get a
free one.
Someone could offer me a few dollars. That'd be great.
I've heard all kinds of rumors about it. So I talked with my news guy from NBC News Radio, Rory O'Neill, right? Uh-huh. And he's like, well, the problem wasn't that there wasn't enough water for the fires. The problem was there was too many fires for how much water they have. And I'm like, yeah, but why wasn't there more water?
There could have been more, There's, I, in my opinion, one of the biggest problems is the fact that they didn't, that over the years, and the environmentalists have not allowed the management the forest management to go in and manage the brush. And there's a type of mouse or rodent that lives in those foothills that these environmental activists claim were being killed or habitat loss, because when they go in and they create fire breaks and then they clean out and do control burns and things like that. But I can't imagine all those little rodents are surviving now underneath all this
crap, roasted rat.
On
Shrek. I don't know if people remember Shrek and bringing Fiona back to Prince Farquaad or Lord Farquaad, and they eat rat by the campfire.
Yeah.
That's kind of where the rats are at right now. The other thing, in destroying those reservoirs, one of their reasons for getting rid of the reservoirs was they were saving a particular kind of fish.
Yeah, there's the Delta smelt in the Sacramento, off the Sacramento River. So apparently, I didn't know this until this, but apparently they have a canal system or an aqueduct system that brings water from the north to the south. in California.
Okay.
And California's a huge state, so yeah, that's a lot of miles of aqueduct and canals. But I know that the farmers have been suffering over the past because they have lost a lot of their water shares to the state. They come in and grabbed them and you know, let that water go through so that. And I really, really, really hope that this creates so much political fallout that the people down there, the voters down there, wake up.
Get rid of
it. Would be nice if to go back and have a California that actually manages and cares about the things they're supposed to care about instead of, you know, DEI and trans and you know, because the fire chief in LA County, she was a DEI hire mm-hmm. because she's an L, you know, mm-hmm. But the problem with that is, and then the first thing she wanted to do was start cutting department, cutting budget, $17 million here. She wanted to cut like $24 million. She settled on $17 million. They're closing departments or they're laying off firefighters. I don't, you know, and the reason they do that is because they don't have budget. Well, where's that money going to, right? Because if you're a city or a county, isn't your first obligation fire and police protection? Isn't that kind of number one?
Protect the people.
Right.
That's your job as the government.
Anyway, I really hope there's a huge political fallout. The people down there deserve more. They really do.
Also in the news in the last couple of days is the Earth has internationally the highest temperature ever on the Earth. And, of course, a lot of the climate alarmists
ever?
Are like, yeah, well, it, no, since 1880 or something.
But, yeah, it's not ever.
A lot of the climate alarmists are like, see, global warming, we're all going to die. But, you know, you said it before, and I've read it in articles, that a warmer Earth is actually not a bad thing.
Earth is a wetter Earth.
Yeah.
The reason we're in a drought, the reason it hasn't rained here in 6 months mm-hmm. is because we're in a La Nina. Okay. And a La Nina is a cold weather pattern in the eastern Pacific. Last year we had an El Nino, which was why we were so wet all year.
Yeah.
And that was a warm weather pattern. So we've got a cold weather pattern. These idiots that say this is the hottest year we've ever had, that's not true. They don't know. And if it was since 18 whatever, then that means in 18 whatever, it was hotter.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Well, wait a minute. How many SUVs were driving around the planet in 18 whatever?
You know? That would be none, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So obviously CO2 doesn't necessarily mean that it's that big of a deal as a valve on the planet's thermometer. Okay?
Right.
What about oscillation of the Earth's orbit around the sun? What about the precession of the rotation of the Earth in the North Pole and the axis and the tilt and the degrees that vary over generations or over decades?
Yeah.
So, you know, those are called, I forget the name now, put me on the spot. But they have a name for those oscillations that occur, and there's a pattern to them. And then there's also sunspot activity. There's also, we're actually entering into a grand solar maximum right now.
Really?
Yeah. So maximum solar output. So go figure. Go figure the sun might be the cause of global warming. Imagine that. Who would have thought?
That big giant yellow ball.
That big
in the
yellow
sky.
Ball in the sky,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Turns out it might have something to do with it. So
my brother and I were talking about that. So the sun and the fact that, so we can play, my wife and I love pickleball. We can play at nighttime in the summer. And even though it's still 90 degrees at 10 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night, because the sun is not shining down, burning us, it doesn't feel
nice.
As
yeah,
hot. By the same token, we can go play on a July morning at 8 o'clock, 6 o'clock actually. We'll get 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's only 78 or 82. But once that sun comes out and starts shining down on you, it feels like it's 110 degrees. The sun, the direct sunlight is a real factor.
Yeah.
A real factor. So.
So, you know, they're always going to point to something like that as if they didn't have any responsibility. But here's the thing. If you believe in global warming, then you believe that there's a higher fire danger, then you should do something about it even more.
Right.
We're going to take out dams. We're going to create more dry fuel in the hinterlands because we believe the mouse is more important than everybody's homes and these people's lives that have been lost.
And that brings up to me another factor that's always bugged me. I really feel like I'm not anti-environment. I'm not anti, you know, dodo bird and, you know, whatever. We don't want animals to go extinct, but always, it seems like to me, these environmentalists have said animals are more important than people. They've always picked the animal side on every time. And they're like, well, the animals don't have a voice. They need me. But, well, the people need a voice, too.
Yeah.
You know, and it drives
me
nuts.
But it's like anything. I think it's a recipe that has been years and decades in the making.
Mm.
Okay. They know these Santa Ana winds are coming. They usually don't get this strong. Okay. But this is not unprecedented strong. They've been this strong before, but normally they're not this strong. And I think it's interesting because you look at the priorities. The fire chief that in L.A. County, when she was brought in, she said, you know, I'm going to make this department more DEI. She said that. Okay, that's her priority.
Because she is a D or an E or an I or one of those.
Well, she's an L. But you can't, and the problem is you can't fire a DEI hire for incompetence, because that's not why you hired them. You didn't hire them for competence. Yeah. You hired them for being...
Doesn't matter if they're competent or not.
You hired them for being diverse. As long as they're diverse, they're fine. Yeah. And then the mayor of L.A. was at an inauguration in Africa.
In Ghana,
In Ghana. What the hell? If that was... Can you imagine if our mayor did that?
In Ghana.
She's a sweetheart. I know her personally. But
why? Honestly, sit there, go. And I had heard on the news yesterday that this mayor liked to go to all these different things in other countries. And by the way, the city pays for it.
Of course.
And that she had said she had a problem and she was going to try not to go to as many of them or try to cut down on the travels. And yet.
How do you get yourself invited to all those things?
I know.
Oh, my gosh. What list is that?
Yeah, you imagine the guy in
Ghana. So this is a thing for her, huh?
Yeah.
To go to all these things. Did you see her on the plane when she got off the plane on the So you know how you deplane and you're in that little tunnel?
Yeah.
She tried to get out the side door.
Oh.
And she couldn't get out the side.
There was a big drive off down there.
Yeah, well, there's a stair there, but okay. She was trying to get out, and she's like, you know, the reporter's right there. Why did you go? What, you know, all this stuff's going on. And
she wouldn't answer any questions.
She looked like a cornered deer in the headlights, man.
She should have been.
It's
could have used an African analogy. It looked like a gazelle trying to get away from a lion or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Cornered.
Yeah.
She was cornered. That's the problem. But it's just sad. It's sad. I mean, these people, their priorities, you know, in a way it's really the voters' fault. They voted for him.
Will they? And remember, by the way,
and Gavin Newsom won't take any responsibility at all.
Ronald Reagan used to be the governor of California. It hasn't been that long that California wasn't, if you'll pardon the term, wackadoodle. They were actually, you know, I think another thing people forget, California has how many, about 30 million, 50 million people in California?
That's huge.
Millions of Californians voted for Donald Trump. Millions of Californians are conservatives. The problem is they're just outnumbered 2-1 by the others.
Yeah.
So.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back to the Andy Griffin Show. I'm Andy. Jack Lancaster is here, and we are happy to welcome into the program today McCray Hepler. Cray Hepler is the guy that keeps an eye on stuff, Jack.
And he does those cool YouTube videos.
Oh, they're amazing.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
We watch. We actually are big fans of YouTube, my wife and I.
Well, I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of your establishment.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I just am now knowing he's known my dad and my family longer than I have.
Yeah.
Longer than you've been alive. Yeah. So I haven't watched it yet, but I saw you put up a blooper video for the end of the year.
Oh, you haven't watched it yet?
I haven't seen it yet. But that's like first item to do after the show's over today is to watch your bloopers. So people don't understand sometimes how hard it is to talk on camera, right? Because you have to be on. You can't pick your nose or look at your toes or anything like. I mean, you've got to be on, man.
Yep. And I'm just such a perfectionist when it comes to what I say. So one of the parts is me over and over saying just too many words. Because sometimes I just, like, I talk and talk and talk, and then I'm like, this is way too, I'm overcomplicating this. Yeah. So then and then there's also, you know, I have to really say things carefully and make sure that what I say is accurate, because people do take the information very seriously. And so the more views that it gets, or the more it grows, I really just have to check with like all parties and to make sure that what I'm talking about is 100%.
Yeah.
That's why, like with Costco recently, everyone keeps asking. And now the last 2 weeks it's become pretty clear.
Yeah.
But there's just things that I have to be very careful about. And so then it makes me just think about every word that's it's like when I was on my mission and I was learning Spanish, and you think about every single word that's coming out because you, and anyway, so I sometimes, it's funny. So it makes for a lot of outtakes and a really fun blooper video.
Oh,
so
cool. Well, I'll have to watch that as soon as the show's over.
Yeah, I'm going to dial it in.
Another thing that people don't think about, we talked to Chad. Chad's the economic development director
Love
for
Chad.
St. George City. And he says, you know, there's certain things I can't say. And it's not that I don't want to say them. It's that if you say something that someone told you in confidence on the radio or in public, you've just lost the trust of that person. And I know that's something you have to deal with, too. There's a lot of things you know you can't tell us yet.
Yep. Yeah, and Chad's one of the sources that I go to for, on the city side of things, to make sure that, you know, all the T's are crossed, I's are dotted before things get talked about. Because I never want to be the reason why something goes haywire. And then I also, I don't want to lose the trust.
Yeah.
If I, and there's things that, if, you know, I sometimes that happen, and that, like, for example, there was a mac and cheese bar on George Washington Boulevard on River Road that was all signed, ready to go, talked about it, and then they actually didn't end up going there. They're going to go somewhere else. So there's things that happen like that, but I never want to be too premature with something.
Mayor Staley said, Washington City said, Panera Bread.
Yeah.
He thought it was going to be the first one in the state. Apparently, it is not. It's going to be the second one in the state, I guess. Somebody beat him to it. But
that one's looking close. Did he give a time frame on that one?
He didn't say a time, but I'm with you. I drive
by. I drove by there last night. They looked like they were, I thought they might be open. The lights were on. It looked like, you know, it was pretty organized.
Maybe
inside,
they're training employees right now. I don't think they're open.
But the lights were on.
It's close. It's right there, Green Spring and Buena Vista or Red Hills Parkway, whichever road it is. I guess at that point it becomes Buena Vista.
Buena Vista, yep.
After Green Spring.
I'm a huge fan of the Village Baker that opened
a
month down or two ago down by Summit. That's similar to Panera.
My sister said the biggest problem with Village Baker is it's not big enough. They need another one already.
They really do. I was in there for lunch on Saturday and had to stand around for a minute and wait for a table.
But then I
feel like, especially it's definitely a big lunch place. I think dinner might be a little less, little less busy, but it's so good. The pizza, the sandwiches, the bread is phenomenal.
I had their pizza. It was amazing. My dad had one of their bread bowls with soup. Mm. And I'm like, I was sitting there eating my pizza and the pizza was good, but I'm looking at his soup, his clam chowder, and going, I think I screwed up here. That guy, I mean, he's, so
I haven't had the bread bowl yet, but their bread is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it's really well made, too. It's like 5-6 ingredients, nothing, none of the junk that, you often see with bread. So
now, Winco, Washington City there, right by the new Main Street exit, has not gone vertical yet. Are they getting close? Do you know?
This still going through the city. I haven't followed up with the city on that one in a minute, but I know that they were planning on sometime around in quarter one, first of the year, to be able to start going vertical. But I know they're still just going through the whole city process,
right?
Permitting and all that.
And how about Costco? The new Costco.
Yeah, the new Costco. That one is about 90% of the way there, I would say. It's there was an incentive agreement that had to be passed by the city council last week. They got passed. And then it's going to planning commission tonight. And there's still a few other things that need to be done. And Costco has to actually, you know, close and do their side. But everything I'm hearing is it's making good progress. So.
And this will be what, right by Desert Color?
That's the word.
Okay.
That one has,
We're not for sure. Okay.
That hasn't been publicized just yet, but
I'm just guessing. I mean, I heard it was down there.
That's what a lot of people are guessing. So
I've heard that rumor too.
Yeah, okay. I think everybody at this point's heard the rumor. If you're on St. George, word of mouth, or anywhere on Facebook, it's definitely been a rumor or two for a while. So
let's talk about Fort Pierce Business Park now. Jack says his wife almost single-handedly keeps Amazon going with the amount of things she orders off Amazon. And there's an Amazon spot down there.
There is. Well, the good news, Jack, is that now all of the items that are ordered the most here will now be in the fulfillment center, and she'll get them same day.
Gosh. No way.
Yeah. So as long as she's ordering what the rest of St. George is ordering, the most popular items will be fully stocked, and you will receive it the same
day. She listens to this program when I'm on.
Are you allowed, Jack, to give disclose what some of those items might be?
She bought suitcases.
I'm going to order what she orders.
She buys makeup. She buys suitcases. She buys custom pins. Okay. I don't know. Right. I mean, I really don't know. Sometimes the boxes don't get open for a week.
Really?
I go, honey, if you needed it that badly, why is the box still open? Unopened?
Man.
She's a sweetheart. That's awesome. I don't fault her.
So give us an exact location on the Amazon.
Yeah, so it's the south end of Fort Pierce Business Park, which is the South River Road across from the Family Dollar.
Okay.
If people are familiar with the industrial park out there is pretty large, really large, and it's at the very south end of that. Is on the west side of River Road is the Family Dollar, and just right across the street from there is the new Amazon.
So we're talking like 40th, 50th south, right in there, right?
I think that's something like that.
Okay.
And it's a smaller fulfillment center, but it's a fulfillment center. And they've got trucks zooming already. I've seen them all over town, and they're rocking and rolling. So, like I said, they will have the most popular items based on their algorithm, everything. Hmm. They will have them stocked here, and so that'll be cool. Wow. And I'm not sure how many jobs they're adding. I'm not sure any of those stats, but getting Amazon is a big get for a place like St. George.
Wow.
And I think all of that area around the airport, both on that side with Fort Pierce, because the area that it's in, they just sold about, I think there's about 20, 25 total lots there. There's a couple other businesses that have opened already, and then they've sold about 20 other lots that will have more big business come out there. And then they're starting on phase 10, which is the last section of Fort Pierce. It's about 300 more acres. Really, Fort Pierce has been one of the huge economic drivers for St. George since the 90s, for bigger business to be able to expand and grow out there. So,
what year did you graduate high school, McCray?
2008.
What was out there when you graduated high school?
So that was known as the Strip. That's what we called it. It ended and turned into a dirt road out to the Arizona Strip and down to the Grand Canyon, which you can still now, it's past the Southern Corridor. But growing up, that's where we would go to just be boys, whatever.
Break things and stuff.
Bonfires and all the things. Yeah. But that was known as the Strip. And then it would just turn into a dirt road. And now... you got that was before the Family Dollar was here too, I believe.
I think so, yeah.
Back then there was it was when Blue Bunny, had their thing. But back then I didn't know what was out there as far as business goes.
There wasn't much.
All I cared about was the dirt road.
And the bonfires.
And the bonfires.
That's right.
Jack, you've been here, you lived here your whole life, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much.
You have been here since before the park started.
That's true.
I was going to say, was out there when you were in high school?
No, I remember when the city council announced that they got that
approved.
Approved as an industrial park. Yeah.
Wow. Yep. Which is a couple of years ago.
Just a few years ago.
Yeah.
Anything else out there new?
Yeah, the other cool thing, there's a couple other cool ones. There's a local couple here that started, it's called Bowler Aesthetics, and her name's Lexi Bowler, and she does permanent makeup, all the beauty industry here is actually really impressive. There's a number of women that they've been in the beauty space, and they've been, whether they've been like a tattoo, like a permanent makeup, or the eyelashes, or the lips, or whatever, they all start just by doing the trade. But then they've thought of, as they're doing it, they've thought of ways to either create a product or to make the experience better, or in some fashion. So now we have hair extensions. We've got like some of the top, you know, hair extension is one of them. The other one is Saint, which is a lot of different beauty products. And then there's a couple others. And this one, Lexi, so they do permanent makeup. So they have a studio out there. She also teaches, people fly in and learn how to do permanent makeup from her. And then they also have a big warehouse where they manufacture their own products and sell them nationwide. So really cool. And their building is beautiful. It's black. It definitely stands out. And then the other big one is Wilson Electronics. So Wilson Electronics has been here since the 80s.
Yeah.
37 years. So late 80s. Yeah. And, they're actually changing the name to Wilson Innovative, I think it's going to be on the new building. It's still
so
branded right now, but they're going down. It's just, right down from Family Dollar on the west side.
Okay.
About a 90,000 square foot building. Oh, huge.
Yeah.
And I've heard really, really cool things about how it's going to turn out. So wow. They're definitely one of the pioneers of, you know, them and Ram Company.
Yeah, they're success stories.
They're one of the pioneers in, like, the electronics tech space here. And
well, if you hear the name Wilson Electronics, you think, oh, that may be old-fashioned. But you hear Wilson Innovative, that's a modern.
Right.
Well, I hear Wilson Electronics, I think cell phone antenna extenders.
Yep, and that's what they do. Yeah. And they've got one of the best boosters in the world, along with some other types of products. So yeah, it's cool.
Years ago, remember old South Central Communications? I had an old, I mean, we're talking like, you know, when you were a little kid, late 90s. I bought a Wilson extender that you stuck on your car.
Yeah, I had one of those too.
And nice.
It worked. Man, if I'd go fishing and I didn't have service and I plugged that thing in, and all of a sudden I can make a call. That's awesome.
Cool. Very cool.
That's I think I want to get another one now.
So you are always working on new videos. What's coming up next? Where are we going?
So tomorrow I'm going to be, I'm still trying to figure it out.
And but it's the beginning of the year for bloopers too, so we can start working on those.
I know, right? most likely around Red Cliffs, down Mall Drive.
Okay.
There's some really cool things happening at Red Cliffs, some new restaurants, new stores.
I've had some people ask me over and over again, will anything ever be able to survive in the Hash House of Go-Go / Buca di Beppo / Ruby Tuesday / will anything ever survive there?
I think so. I think Johnny...
Is it going to be Korean barbecue?
Yeah, it will be. Soul Grill. I think they're planning to be open sometime this summer, is what Corey from the mall had told me. And I think that Johnny... Sakura is fantastic, and I think they do a great job. And I think... it needs to be somebody like that. If it's not a big, chain, you know, with a big name, then it needs to be someone that has the experience and the history here. And I think they're going to do a good job. So I'm excited.
Well, we've had big chains and big names in that building, and it hasn't worked. So it's good to have a local guy who knows.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, but it's still going to take some. There's people say there's a curse there, you know. So, but no, I think
I have my theories what that curse is.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, the rent's too high.
Can you? Oh, really?
Yeah,
rent's too high. All right,
that could be a factor.
It is a pretty cool location, and I don't know who owns the building, but I could see that they would say, you want this location, you know, pony.
Well,
up.
It's the Red Cliffs owns that whole property.
Okay,
and so it's under their. It's under their management, and I'm not sure the dynamics there, but I'm excited to see what he does with it. There's a couple other street eats is going in the plaza next to Lulu Lemon, which is going to be really cool for Corey, and then there's some stores opening up. There's a nostalgic hot dog on a stick.
Yeah.
It's an old school.
That. I do. I love the outfits the best.
I know.
And the lemonade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So good. So that'll open up with some other stores right inside the mall. And, yeah, it's going to be – I'm excited for the direction the mall's headed.
So I went to Fashion Place this last Christmas season, you know, it was 2 or 3 weeks before Christmas, and it was packed. I mean, it was shoulder to shoulder, the whole mall. And I was like, you know – Our mall went through a long period, two decades, where hardly anybody went to it.
Yeah.
And so I want to congratulate Corey Ashby and the fact that, and he didn't even call it a mall anymore. He's called it Redcliffe.
I shouldn't even say that. He doesn't want mall. It's just Redcliffe.
Yeah.
Which but, I totally understand.
But I noticed, I mean, I lived close to there. The lots were all the way through Christmas season. The lots were full, and I went a few times to the mall, and it was busy.
Yeah, no, and that's the funny thing. We call it the mall because that's just what it is.
We can't help it.
I grew up going there, right? Like, there was a time when it was a hopping mall, and then it did take its dive, along with most malls across America, right? Which is why a lot of them do want to shift away from that. There's kind of a negative connotation with the word mall. But what they've done has been phenomenal. He actually told me on Black Friday they had 42,000 people on Black Friday.
Wow.
And awesome. I have noticed there's been a few times where I've had to randomly stop by. We do like gift cards and stuff for birthdays at our office, and it's like midweek, and I'm like, wow, this parking lot is full.
It's packed,
for just a normal, you know, just a normal Wednesday or so. Anyway, I think the direction is a good direction they're headed in, and I'm excited.
And they lost, you know, Sears. They lost some anchors, and yet they're reemerging as something pretty important, I think, for this area. So
I agree.
McCray, I got to get a commercial break in or I'm going to get fired.
You're good.
Let's pay some bills. Thank you for coming in today.
Yeah, of course.
And
thanks,
everybody watches Blooper Reel because that's entertainment.
And everybody watches YouTube videos. What's the name of your platform?
So it's just my name, McCray Hepler, which is, I know, interesting. But what's happening in Southern Utah is the name.
Go to YouTube, search out McCray Hepler. How do you spell your first name?
M-A-C-R-A-E.
M-A-C-R-A-E.
And then Hepler, H-E-P-P-L-E-R. Or just type in what's happening in Southern Utah or St. George, and I should pop up.
It's a really good informant if he does his homework, and I highly recommend it.
Cool. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Thank you, McCray.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
We are short timers today, only about 3 minutes left in the program. But thanks so much to McCray Hepler for coming on today. And as always, Jack Lancaster.
Yes.
Jack and I, we've been trying to digest everything that's happening on the West Coast with the fires and everything. And I don't know. I mean, you hate to sound like a cold-hearted jerk, right? When you say, well, as you know, they're politically, if they've been better prepared for this, because they knew there's wildfires every year. It's not like these are they don't have them. Yeah. You know, they happen every year. And you know, I listening to Clay and Buck talk about it, they managed to, through policy, reduce it down to where instead of 4 million acres a year, it was down to 250,000 acres a year. And then policy over the last decade or so, or maybe 20 years, has made it so that it's going to go back up to 4 million.
Yeah, yeah.
And houses are going to burn. Really nice houses.
Yeah, yeah. It's just sad. It's a sad story overall. I'll have one thing that I'm very much excited about and looking forward to is next Monday.
We are going to get a new president. Yes, we are. Thank goodness.
It's about frigging time.
If you're in California, knowing you've got Gavin for a couple of years still.
Yeah. They tried to recall him.
Yeah, they did. Didn't work, unfortunately. But so you've got maybe, especially if you're conservative in California, you've got a new president. You're excited about that. But you've got a governor that is pretty much opposite of Donald Trump. Everything Donald Trump believes, Gavin is the opposite.
My guess is he's going to change his tune pretty soon, pretty quick. Because he feels like he's got a bigger political future ahead of him, and he has to go with where the winds are carrying him. Put it that way.
There's some irony there when you're talking about winds and Santa Ana winds and stuff. So.
And, you know, foundational principles maybe don't exist very much, or it's all about what's good for him.
You mean like Kamala Harris. She changed.
Oh, maybe.
She changed everything.
By the way, where's the vice president been during all this? Isn't she a California native?
Did
she come out of a senator from California?
She was a senator from California.
Yeah. And she's the vice president right now. And
maybe still licking her wounds from the defeat, or I don't know.
Kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it?
An APB or an ATL attempt to locate Kamala Harris. Where is she?
Things that make you go,
He's Jack Lancaster. Jack, always a pleasure. We'll see you.
Okay, see you next time. A couple weeks. Okay.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Let's see. Today is Tuesday. Tomorrow is Wednesday. Oh, I think we've got Adam Stone tomorrow. It'll be fun. Thanks for listening.